What is going on, everybody? We are back for another edition of the Sports Card Show podcast. Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. I am doing particularly well, obviously, because my team has won the World Series for the third time in 5 years. And this year in particular, I don't even think they won 90 games. And there were many times this year where I was like, wow, this team is not very good. And even during the postseason, they certainly surprised many people, including myself. Their starting pitching wasn't nearly as good. But they got a lot of, and a lot of the credit went to Madison Bumgarner out there. But Hunter Pence hit the ball really well, and Pablo certainly earned some money for him this offseason as well. Those two guys really lifted the team. And throughout the lineup, we had guys hit the ball pretty well. From one all the way down through our ninth hitter, we're all, very effective at times during the postseason. And that's really all you really need. So we've got, a couple months before catchers and pitchers report. Hopefully, I know the Cubs have gotten a new manager and teams will be making all kinds of moves and it's an odd year, so the Giants likely won't repeat as champions. But it just goes to show you, your team really just needs to get in it. The Giants are proof. Every year that they've won here in the last couple years, they've proven you just really need to get in. And you just need to get hot, and really, you just need one of your pitchers to get hot. That's kind of what they proved, is if you have one hot pitcher, historically hot pitcher, you can go all the way and win the World Series. So heart goes out to Royals fans who waited a long time for a title, but certainly not as long as some Cubs fans and certainly teams that have never really won or contended for a title recently. Heart goes out to them, but it looks like their team's okay. I don't know how good. The Royals also look like a team that got hot, and I don't know how likely it is that they make it back to the World Series. I don't know. You really just need to get in it. So baseball's over with. I'm on top of the world when it comes to that. But I know most of you, not necessarily West Coast baseball fans, so we'll move on. Got tons of topics here. Got Panini signing NCA teams to exclusive deals. That's kind of interesting. I went to a card show with, we had a guest on our show. It was show number 151. It was back in May. And I met him at a card show. And so I'll talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about some individual players, both good, mainly sad news, actually, with some players. We'll talk about Derek Jeter buyback autographs, and we'll talk briefly about NASCAR, but I wanted to actually email our listener back and get a little bit more info. But maybe I'll start it out with, since NASCAR is kind of topical right now, they're having their race to the cup, where they kind of have this playoff system towards the end of the year where certain, depending on how you do in these final races, it's almost like a little bit like an NCAA tournament where it starts whittling down to only a couple drivers have a chance to win. I think next week it goes down to four drivers, but this last weekend had some fireworks. I just saw the highlights recently on Sunday. Jeff Gordon and Brad Keselowski, it's hard to say his last name. I can think it in my head, but it's hard to actually say it. Brad pulls up right, and I guess the last couple race laps of the race, he pulls up right next to him and kind of sideswipes him and gives him a flat tire. And I guess this guy, Brad Keselowski, has done this before this year and has gotten into it with fans. And that's part of the allure. I think NASCAR, that's part of the allure with NASCAR. There's kind of this unwritten code with drivers. You're supposed to do certain things and not do certain things. And then there's always these drivers out there that kind of stick their middle finger up to that, either whether it's for a whole season or for their whole career or for a certain race. But certainly when they're down to the final chase here with NASCAR, certainly like the tension builds. And so, like, it was funny. I don't know how old Jeff Gordon is, but he's not a young man anymore. It was funny seeing him kind of in the middle of a scrum. And somebody actually came up behind Brad and actually pushed him kind of into the pile. I mean, it was an interesting, if you haven't seen the highlights of it, you might want to go and check it out. You might want to check out this weekend's race. In terms of a sports card aspect, a listener emailed, and I've been meaning to email him back the last couple of days here, but we'll talk about this on a future show. But he says, you know, a lot of older NASCAR cards aren't very, you know, it's hard to find information on them. It's hard to actually find them and locate them and be a collector of them. And now I know that Press Pass and others kind of release sets. I think really Press Pass releases sets every, you know, not a bunch of them. Like, you know, you don't get a set every week, but they're doing a good job with that. And they seem to have most of the drivers or almost all the drivers in terms of autographs and memorabilia, fire suits and pieces of the car and the rubber and stuff. So the market is similar. I think what separates NASCAR, it's kind of in the soccer. When I've talked to Tops on their conference calls that they've invited me to talk about the soccer products, I think they're very similar markets because NASCAR fans, you know, you can be, I'm sure there's general fans of NASCAR that like, you know, you like your two or three drivers, but there's a lot of NASCAR fans out there that really identify with one driver and root for that one driver or the one racing team. They might root for, you know, one racing team and the kind of group of drivers that race there. But it's a lot like soccer where, you know, you really are passionate about the team. And maybe not as much about the entire league, whereas like in football, because of fantasy sports and stuff like that, and maybe sports betting and things like that, you come to know and root for multiple teams, or you know you have your favorite team, but you'll watch Monday Night Football. You know, I think in racing, if you're a fan of Jeff Gordon and he's not racing that weekend, you know, you may or may not watch. And I think the same is similar with soccer. You know, if your team is playing, you're watching. If it's some other team, you might not have as big of interest, or you might not watch, you know, much like people do with football or even baseball. I think the World Series ratings were down, but the Game 7 ratings was very high, mainly because that, you know, that's the time to tune in. In terms of how you could capitalize this, I think I always love to buy NASCAR cards on Check Out My Cards. I do most of my buying there, as you guys know, and I do all my buying and reselling on there. I'm always, if people are blowing out NASCAR stuff, I'm buying because it always seems to sell. It takes a little while just because I think the market is not as broad and big as baseball, and I have less of the cards, so I notice them sell less. But I sell through anything, obviously, Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and guys like that, but even kind of the lesser-known drivers or maybe kind of a middle-tier driver, that stuff still sells if you can get it the right price. I mean, if you're getting it full price, you know, you're not going to be able to resell it for much of a profit, but people tend to blow out stuff like that. And I, you know, I occasionally get, I occasionally have sales and seems like the NASCAR stuff sells pretty well. In terms of if you know, I've talked about this in the past, if you want to specialize in breaking into this hobby, I talked about this on a show a while back with group breaking. Instead of getting into group breaking and saying, I'm going to bust Topps Platinum and Velour and all this, you know, I'm just going to jump right into it and try to compete with these guys. I would just start with something like NASCAR breaks. I'm only going to break NASCAR. And I'm going to figure out a way to, you know, where you can pick your driver or pick your team or pick something and you get, you know, you can sell it that way. Or I'm just going to sell golf, or I'm just going to sell hockey and things like that. And I think specialize on something, gain a following, gain a reputation, and then you can piggyback that into, because chances are NASCAR guys will watch baseball, NASCAR guys will watch football, and you can turn your customers into the other products you might have. But we'll talk I'll get a little bit more information from our listener, long time listener, actually. And so I'll get some information. I don't know if he wants to come on the show and talk about it, but I'll get some information. I mean, as we get down to the end of the race for the cup in NASCAR, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Moving on, the real interesting thing, Panini is signing NCAA teams to exclusive deals, and that actually happened today. Last week or week ago, they signed some different schools, I think only like three or four schools, like Georgia and I think Miami and some other schools, to a deal. And I say they signed the schools, they're actually dealing with, it's a lot like athletes with agents. Like if you're an athlete, you know, you hire an agent and they do all the negotiation for you and they have to sign the contract and get endorsement deals, and they collect the money, or they don't necessarily collect the money, but they collect a certain percentage. You know, if you sign a $10 million deal, they're going to get 2 or 3% of that, or whatever the going rate for an agent is these days. And that's what Panini is doing. All these universities are represented by we'll call them an agent, basically. And in this case, it's called LRG. Represents Mississippi State, who I think is number one in the country right now in college football. You got Baylor, who has some interesting players that are going to be coming to the NFL pretty soon, Bryce Petty in particular, and they have Antoine Goodley, I think, too, at wide receiver, who's really good. NC State, who has Jacoby Brissett, who I think he's going to make it to the NFL. He seems like an interesting quarterback. Plays at NC State, so people don't really care. And over 200 other schools. So interesting, including Memphis, Marquette, St. John's, Temple. This is really a shot across the bow to Upper Deck, who's kind of cornered the market into that CLC license, where they're able to release a lot of college products, and no one else really has. Well, now Panini, they say they plan to release exclusive sets, like college specific sets, as well as inside their officially, I don't know how this is going to work, but they say they're going to release some college products inside the NBA, NFL, and their NFL or MLBPA license. And when I've talked to Topps, actually one of the ideas I had for them was, I said, soccer, why can't you, put a preview pack of soccer in one of your more mainstream products to kind of get the notice out about it? And they said, cross licensing is difficult. If you have the MLB product, percentage of those sales are supposed to go to the MLB. And so I don't exactly know how Panini will pull this off, but they say they're planning on releasing some of this inside of their NBA and NFL products, so, and baseball products. So we'll see how that ends up working out. But I think this does a few things. This Panini obviously has exclusive to the NFL. And what they're going to do, this is what I think they're going to do when that exclusive turns over into 2016, they're going to have the license to make these college guys. What they're going to do is they're going to sign guys to exclusive, do exactly what they do in basketball. Because a couple years ago, Leaf got Damian Lillard on an exclusive contract, and it really hurt Panini in terms of what they could do with basketball products, because they didn't have the rookie year of the year and essentially the best player that year in their product. I know that Leaf kind of bended later on and allowed them to get some products, get Damian Lillard into some products later on. But it really hurt what Panini is going to do. What Panini is planning here, I don't think they have these any grandeurs of coming out with these great college sets. Really, they're just trying to destroy Upper Deck's business. And they're going to destroy the early pre-draft football market that's, Press Pass and Sage and even Leaf is involved in. For example, if Panini had an exclusive deal this year, say it happened this year and Topps wasn't making football cards, they would assign Johnny Manziel to exclusive deal. They would assign somebody else to exclusive deal. They would assign all these guys, just like they do in basketball. They sign like the all the lottery picks or whoever was in the lottery to an exclusive deal. So that's why you don't see pre-draft NBA. You would have think this year would have been a great year for pre-draft NBA, right? Because you had Wiggins, you had Parker, you had Julius Randle, who we'll talk about, that got hurt. You had all these guys. But no, there's no pre-draft NBA because you can't have autographs because Panini locks them all in. And my guess is as we move closer to 2016, that's the business model Panini will employ. They'll sign the top, they can't sign every NFL player. Will there be pre-draft product from Press Pass and Sage and Leaf? Maybe, maybe not, but it's going to be minus some of the key players, because Panini's going to sign the quarterbacks and the top running backs and the wide receivers. So yeah, you could come out with a pre-draft set with some of the defensive players or a third, fourth, fifth round quarterback that they decide not to sign. But I think that's the route Panini is really going in. They're deciding to kind of destroy the business models of Topps, because now Topps can only make baseball cards. And, you know, I don't even know if they're going to be making the digital. They have Topps Huddle app. I don't know if they'll be able to do that. Obviously, Upper Deck has relied on this college license almost exclusively for their deals, for their products. You know, I mean, I don't know what Upper Deck could actually come out with. I mean, I know they have the hockey license now, but we're talking about, you know, they essentially are in the same boat as Topps. They have one license, and that's it. And Panini's coming in here grabbing the CLC licenses, and they have the big license in the football, and they have the NBA. And so we'll see what happens. But definitely an interesting game they're playing, and an interesting time moving forward. I think it definitely puts Panini by far and away. Within a year or two, they're already, I think, clearly the volume leader and kind of the sales leader. They are by far and away in a year or two going to be just dominating the sports card business as being really the you know, outside of the baseball market and the hockey market, which I know are big, especially baseball is a big, big, big market and kind of defines the category. But, you know, who knows how long that'll last. And obviously, we'll talk in a minute about how they're putting Derek Jeter autographs in their MLBPA products, Panini is. And so there are ways that Panini can kind of get around not having the actual license to Major League Baseball. So we'll see what happens. But definitely interesting stuff going on. If you're a fan of college, I think, you know, I think Upper Deck did a good job with it. And if you're a fan of college, some of these colleges might not have been covered under the CLC. And so, you know, you might see some additional colleges having some memorabilia and some cards out there. Clearly, I think we all have issues with Panini kind of putting out I would call it kind of an unpassionate product. I think, you know, everybody puts out, you know, from Upper Deck to Topps, they all put out product that is either good nor bad. But Panini just seems to kind of pump it out, and it doesn't seem to, you know, obviously they have a lot of things going on over there, a lot of sets coming out. And so, you know, it just seems like they're just churning it out, and they don't really care about the collectability of it. They don't really care about the secondary value of it, considering most of their products go down. Not everybody's products go down in value, but theirs almost never seem to go up in value. So we'll see what happens there. It's just interesting. Second story on Panini that is very, very interesting is they're getting these buyback Derek Jeter autographs, courtesy of Steiner. I think Jeter must have some kind of, I think the Yankees and probably Jeter himself have a relationship with Steiner Sports. And Panini's doing the interesting move by buying back some cards that Donruss made in playoffs, since they own those brands, back in the day. Back in, you know, the early 2000s when Donruss and Playoff were making baseball cards. Well, obviously they have cards out there with Derek Jeter in a Yankees uniform. And so what Panini is doing, they're buying back these common cards and they're getting Derek Jeter to sign them. And they're going to be putting them into their products, most notably 2014 Classics Baseball, and there'll be more to follow in 2015. Interesting move. And I had a South Canner out South Canner South CANNER on Twitter asked me this question and wanted to know, you know, the legality of this. Will this hurt MLB Panini's MLBPA chances, you know, renewing that license or maybe even getting the major league license once that comes up in a couple years, 4 or 5 years? Wanted to know, you know, about, I don't know about the legality of it. I guess it's okay. I don't know. It seems somewhat odd that they're doing this. I mean, it's a great idea. I think it's great. I guess they can get away with it. But literally, Derek Jeter is going to be in a Yankees uniform. You know, they're going to be coming out with a product where they don't have the license to put out But I mean, I guess there's gray areas. I guess there's gray areas in these licenses where you can come out with the cards already been made under license, since all these cards from Donruss and Playoff were made under license a decade ago or more. I guess, you know, it's similar to what Leaf does and some of these other companies do with repackaged products. Just kind of interesting that, you know, I mean, Leaf doesn't release their products under any kind of Players Association license. Panini is releasing this set under a Players Association license. So all the cards that are manufactured are not going to have logos, but these Derek Jeter cards will have his autograph and logo. So very interesting move. I can imagine if they can do this, they're going to do this many, many more times. I mean, Derek Jeter is a great, great addition. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to go out and buy any of this stuff, but certainly I'd love to have one of these cards or have the opportunity to get one of these cards. So, I mean, if they can do this with Derek Jeter, they can do it with Barry Bonds or Cal Ripken Jr. or Mark McGwire or just about anyone, I can imagine. We'll see what happens. I think that this is very interesting. Certainly another shot across the bow at Topps, because Derek Jeter, I mean, he's like the Michael Jordan of baseball. If you don't have a Babe, I mean, there's only so many Babe Ruth cut autographs and there's only so many Mickey Mantle cut autographs you can get at this time in terms of a modern, I mean, I know he's retired now, but in terms of a modern athlete, Derek Jeter is the guy that, you know, his autographs are worth a lot of money. And I'm sure Panini had to pay a really nice, I bet they paid close to retail. I'm sure they didn't get a discount from Steiner on these autographs, because Steiner's probably aware of how well this is going to sell their products. But it's interesting that these Derek Jeter autographs are essentially going to be, I would guess, like the product hit. And the product is benefiting the MLPA, which I don't think I don't know how it works. I mean, maybe retired players are a part of this, but he might not even be a part of the Players Association anymore because he's retired. So it's interesting. I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird, but it's cool at the same time. I think it'll be interesting for collectors. I think it's interesting for obviously Derek Jeter fans. Getting one of these cards is going to be high on a lot of your list. And it sure beats having Derek Jeter kind of sit there without a hat on and with, you know, without his Yankee colors on. So I just think it's interesting. I don't know about the legality of it. I'm guessing Panini has looked into that and they're not doing this blindly. I'm sure they've had counsel on this. And so I guess it's cool. Will it hurt their chances? I don't think of getting a license from the MLB or the MLBPA in the future. I don't think so, because really that's all about money. And a little bit with the MLB, I know everybody wonders, you know, why does the MLB go with, you know, I know that they have like Majestic make their jerseys and they have deals with New Era hats and they have deals with certain companies that they've really benefited the company more than it's benefited the MLB. The MLB likes to go with American companies. And so that is in part why Topps probably almost always has the upper hand with that, because they're an American company. And New Era is an American company. And Majestic is an American company. And a lot, I mean, yeah, they make stuff in China. They all make stuff in China these days. But their roots are in America. And whereas Panini, not quite. You know, maybe in 5 or 6 years that changes. Again, it's all about the almighty dollar. If Panini comes to the table with a large deal, don't be surprised if one day Topps is sitting there with the soccer license and that's about it. So we'll see what happens. Speaking of global kind of America and being not from America, I noticed a comment on Twitter where somebody was saying, you know, we talked, I think, on the last show where Upper Deck got this license for EuroLeague basketball. And somebody made a comment, I think it was on their blog, and they went to them on Twitter saying, you know, hey, you signed this EuroLeague basketball, but we can't buy cards where we live, you know, whether it's Australia or the UK or in Europe or wherever you, in Germany, wherever you might be, you know, Japan, wherever it is, you can't in the US, you know, we complain there's lack of hobby shops and stuff, but you know, you don't have to pay custom fees. You don't have to pay ridiculous shipping fees on eBay or through a retailer. And he was kind of complaining about that. And I totally side with him. I totally agree with him. He was suggesting that they, you know, Upper Deck starts Upper Deck Europe, and Panini has distribution obviously already in other countries, that they distribute the products. From what I understand, and this is really just kind of an education for people out there, from what I understand, the license that Panini and all these guys signed with the leagues is for United States distribution, and maybe Canada, maybe Mexico, maybe more North America. But I know last deal that Panini signed with the NBA, it carved out a special set called Hoops that was released here, but there was a special set, I think it was released in China and other places around the world. I believe that in order to release a set like Panini Adrenaline, I know people are able to find that in other, and occasionally you find mainly low end sets in other parts of the country. I know that Topps comes out with Topps Tribute and some other sets, and it goes directly to Japan, most notably one or two dealers in Japan. But those are separate sets. They often have separate numbering. They're almost referred to as kind of the Japan. I think it's Japan. It might be China. One of those countries gets its own special set. It's very exact same cards. Just, you know, there's sometimes a different parallel and different odds in that. But it goes directly there. And that's because that's a special deal with the MLB. And that's a special deal with the NBA. So if you're overseas and you wonder why cards aren't distributed, really, it's not, I don't think it's necessarily Panini's fault. And it's not necessarily Upper Deck's fault. Mainly, it's likely the league, the NBA, the MLB, that have different licensing requirements, or that's a different cost, and it's a different cost structure. And then based on the popularity of cards, which really isn't that much, it's likely hard to distribute that overseas. So would Panini and would Upper Deck and would Topps love to have global distribution? Certainly they would, but they don't. And just the margins on the product and the way the licenses work, probably not going to happen anytime soon. Certainly some things that might accelerate that would, if you got, you know, I know the NFL for some God knows reason wants an NFL team in London, which is a really stupid idea. Same with the NBA. They want a team overseas. And I think that would really, really hurt the leagues overall. I don't think they should go down that route. But certainly if something like that were to happen, you might have more distribution of sports cards elsewhere. But for now, the licenses really only kind of cover the North American market. And your only way to get cards is through a North American dealer. So they have to get the cards and they have to ship them to you. And so obviously you're stuck with shipping fees, you're stuck with customs. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I think we'd be remiss if I didn't mention Oscar Tavares, who tragically passed away, him and his girlfriend. So obviously my thoughts are with him and his family, and certainly the Cardinals fans. I feel bad for the Cardinals fans out there that were looking forward to seeing this guy play. I know his cards were highly collectible, and I'm sure they still are to a certain extent. And I'm sure you guys are as devastated and as sad to hear that as I was. So, and I just saw him. I mean, the Giants just played the Cardinals and he hit a big home run, I think, to either tie the game or give them a lead in one of the games. So I'm sad to hear that news, and I feel bad for him and his family and the young lady as he was with. So my heart goes out to them. My heart, although less less of my heart goes out to Julius Randle. This really puts a damper a little bit on NBA cards, because he was one of the rookies people were probably really looking forward to collect. If you're a Lakers fan, this might give you a whole year where you can affordably collect Julius Randle, but it kind of hurts the NBA market, because now we have Joel Embiid basically gone for the whole year. Julius Randle's gone for the whole year. So obviously Wiggins is a, you know, I think people are finding out that LeBron James, what he did in his rookie year, and even Carmelo and Dwayne Wade, what they did in their rookie years, it doesn't happen very often. And Wiggins is going to have to, I think Wiggins is going to be a really good player. I think if you're going to listen to this show 3 or 4 or 5 years down the line, you're going to be like, yeah, Wiggins is good. But it's going to take them some time, and it's going to take time for the rest of these guys, to Jabari Parker and everybody else, to kind of get their footing. So basketball, not quite as explosive as I thought maybe it might be. I think it's been hurt by this injury and Joel Embiid a little bit. And certainly, I think if Wiggins was in Cleveland, it'd be a little bit more exciting. I think people would understand that, you know, he's not going to put up these big numbers, but he's in Minnesota, who has like Thaddeus Young is the best player on the whole team, who's a really good player. But it's going to, now he's kind of buried in Minnesota a little bit. So I think that affects his values and affects his TV time and kind of the coverage that he would have gotten if he was playing alongside LeBron. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. And that, believe it or not, I think that's all I have here. Yeah, I talked about that, and that. So, yeah, we're pretty much done. So we'll keep it at a 30-minute show. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. Oh, last thing. Went to a card show with Matt, who was on our show number 151 back in May. And we went to the show in Sacramento, invited me to the show in Sacramento. And it's like one of those hotel shows where somebody rents out one of the conference rooms and, you know, sets up tables and sells them for whatever. And he makes, you know, probably a little bit of money. I think even the guy that was running the show had a table there. So that's part of the deal, too. But it was really cool. It was cool to go. I know Matt pointed out that, it wasn't one of these corporate shows where you had Joe Montana showing up or Ernie Banks or a big time athletes, Mike Tyson or whatever, kind of drawing people in. And, you know, I've heard advertisements on the radio for the TriStar shows that I've gone to. And certainly the National gets all kinds of advertisement and publicity. This is one of the kind of the old school kind of back alley sports car show. What I was surprised is it was packed. Showed up, I got there at 10:30, I think it had been going on for about an hour or so already, hour and a half, and it was packed. I mean, there was some, I had to kind of walk around some tables and come back to it, and it wasn't like a big, you know, it wasn't like a Bellagio ballroom or anything like that. I mean, it was really just the size of, you know, I don't know, maybe 2,000 square feet or so. I don't know. It might have been a little bit larger space than that. But I would say probably 30, 40 tables maybe at the most. So you can make your way around. Saw some very interesting. I didn't buy anything. I was looking for Tony Roten cards. He has gotten a lot of playing time with Philly, with Michael Carter-Williams out. And Philly's just trying to tank. They're trading players and then cutting who they trade for. So it's just it's not a good situation there. And they obviously drafted Joel Embiid and they traded for another guy. They basically had two draft picks in the lottery. And I think Embiid is out and the other guy they trade for is not even in the NBA right now. So just would disgust me if I was it's pretty bad that the Lakers are 0-4 or whatever, but at least, they're competing a little bit, not very well, but the Sixers clearly don't even want to win a game. So I was looking for Roten cards because honestly, he has a really good chance of kind of elevating himself this year. He's already elevated himself kind of in the first couple games because he is kind of a me guy and kind of a guy that can fill it up. And that's perfect on a team that doesn't have a lot of scores. So I was trying to find some of his cards because people probably likely don't know who he is or think he sucks. Whereas he has a really good shot at averaging, 14, 15, 16 points a game this season, which is actually really good in the NBA. So we'll see. I mean, he might end up going to the bench when what's his name, Michael Carter Williams, comes back. But maybe not. He might play alongside of him. But it was fun going to the show. Saw a lot of interesting cards. There was a lot of kind of older baseball, a lot of Giants. Obviously, everybody's trying to sell their Madison Bumgarners for a high price, Buster Posey cards for a high price, Pablo Sandoval cards for a high price. Everybody's trying to get their money for the. And I don't blame you. Now look at the Giant and think about it. I know Madison Bumgarner looks like, you know, a better version of Clayton Kershaw right now. But, you know, a couple years ago, Tim Lincecum was our best player and looked like, and was certainly our best player and certainly our best pitcher, starting pitcher. And before that, Matt Cain. And even in 2012, Matt Cain was a big part of our team. And now both of them, I know Matt Cain was more due to injury. Lincecum threw a no-hitter this year, but he was a little inconsistent. But certainly the values of their cards and their desirability to collect them will go down. Will that happen to Bumgarner? I don't know. Well, Bumgarner will just keep churning on and become, you know, one of the, you know, iconic pitchers like Sandy Koufax or you know, Don Drysdale or some of these guys out there, even Doc Gooden. I don't know. I don't know if he'll. You know, I think pitcher like Greg Maddux had a really long career, real long successful career. I don't know. It's tough as a pitcher to kind of be seen when your velocity drops a little bit, it gets tough. But Bumgarner doesn't really rely on that 95, 96 fastball. So, you know, he probably does have maybe some longevity. So, but I would lean towards selling high. I think Giants fans, you know, I think the fervor isn't quite as what, because we're kind of used to winning now, as strange as that is to say. But it'll be interesting. I think I wouldn't blame you if you had some Bumgarners and you were selling them now. Even if you wanted to keep them, I think you could buy back, just like Matt Cain and Lincecum. I mean, you could have sold them whenever they were hot and bought them back this year at really, really reduced prices. And maybe even in a year or two, you get them for next to nothing. I don't know. Depends on how they respond to kind of an off year or down years. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully everything is going good for all of you out there. Good luck with your collection. We've got a really nice month of you know, Black Friday sales. I think when everybody wants to sell, I say this with the stock market all the time, when everybody wants to sell, that's when you want to buy. When everybody wants to buy, that's when you want to sell. I think, you know, it's a little reversed in Black Friday, especially on Check Out My Cards. Everybody has, I'll even have a sale. But usually I'm making money on all my sales. But I notice there'll be people on Check Out My Cards that are kind of blowing stuff out just to blow it out. I don't think that's the attitude to have. Really the attitude to have, if you're a buyer and a reseller, the time to buy is when everything's on sale. And certainly in a week or two, we have Black Friday sales. I think that's going to be the time to buy and accumulate your cards. And then you sell them for full price or closer to full price, as we move through, you know, the rest of 2014 and 2015. I know just based on my stats on Check Out My Cards, it's in part because I buy a ton of cards. I'll buy, you know, maybe over a thousand. I don't know. It depends on the deals. Depends on what I find. But I might buy over 1,000 cards, maybe more than that, on Check Out My Cards. My biggest months on Check Out My Cards tend to be post-Christmas, because people get a lot of gift cards and a lot of money and a lot of free time also around Christmas and after Christmas and into New Year's. But January is typically one of my biggest months. And if you think about it, there, you know, outside of that, I know the NFL playoffs are going on, but baseball is not going on. NBA is kind of, you know, kind of mid-season at that point. But it's not the hottest time in terms of, you know, players doing stuff to kind of drive card values. But it tends to be a really big month for me. And that's at closer to full price. So if you're out there in the market to buy, I'd hold off for, you know, a week or two. Wait till people put stuff on discount. And, you know, if you're into the reselling market, I think it's going to be a great time to buy. When everybody has everything on sale and they're trying to sell it as fast as they can, that's when you want to come in there and buy. And then when they sell out of all their stuff and they're out and, then, you know, they're tapped out, then you relist it at higher prices and you sell it throughout the year. I think that's a strategy that has certainly worked for me over the last few years. And the strategy that's going to work for me is cutting it off now. We're now at the closer to the 40-minute mark. Thanks for tuning in today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed today's show. We'll be back some other time. But for now, we are out of here.